Turning your Bibles to John chapter 16, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Gospel of John. We're seeing, of course, that Jesus is presented in this book as the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, and all who believe in Him have eternal life. We're seeing His final teaching right before He goes to the cross. This is, as I said earlier, that chapters 1 through 12 are His public ministry. Chapters 13 through 17 are His private ministry, where He teaches His men, where He's with them right before He goes to the cross. His plan, of course, to instruct them this night when it's over. They go, but they're walking now in the city of Jerusalem. They're about to go out what's called the Eastern Gate, go down the Kidron Valley, and then up to the Mount of Olives. When they get there, He'll be arrested, tried, and the next morning crucified. So that's the plan. In this passage, He is teaching them, and He's on the way to the Mount of Olives. He continues to tell them different things. This morning, two things are going to stand out. Let me show you what they are. First one is two key aspects. Is He's going to teach about the Holy Spirit. This is the fourth time in the Upper Room discourse that He has mentioned the Holy Spirit and talked about what the ministry and what the Holy Spirit does. And then the second thing He's going to do is He's going to talk about His resurrection appearances. Now, I think it's very, very important that we see this and understand about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. Last time we saw the Holy Spirit's ministry to the unbeliever. Now we're going to see the ministry to the believer. We're also going to see His appearance. And we're going to talk about it. What appearance is He talking about? And we'll see it. What the men, they do not understand, but we'll put it together as we study it. Sometimes it's hard to wait for things. Something maybe is planned, something that you want to see happen, something that you're going through, or either something that you've got planned, like a trip or a party or a big event, or maybe it's birthday or Christmas or something, and you want to do it. I mean, remember when you were little and your parents would say, in just a little while, we're going to do this. Well, just a little while seemed like forever. This morning, Jesus makes a statement to the men that they really don't understand. He says to them, in a little while, you will not see Me. And then again, in a little while, you will see Me. And they didn't understand it. They didn't know what He's talking about. He had already told them that He's going to the cross. He's already told them He's going to die. He's already said that He's going to die and deal with the sins of mankind. Basically, He says, in a little while, I'm going to die. And then, a little while, I'm coming back. How does it fit together? They don't grasp it. They don't understand it. We sometimes get on them and say, couldn't you guys have picked this thing up? Well, we study the Bible a lot and look through things and we go, I don't get this yet. And we're going to see how it fits together as we go through this. In a little while, they will see Him again. Well, as we begin, there's a lot that we've been seeing. We've been looking at Jesus as He got with His men in the upper room and they did the what we call the Last Supper. It was the Passover meal, and Jesus made a change and He said, from now on, this bread represents My body and this juice represents My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me. And so what we call the Lord's Supper is really that Last Supper. And here's what He told them. Here's some things. He said this. He said that they are to love one another, because people can tell that they belong to Jesus by their love one for another. He told them that He was going to leave and go prepare a place for them. He says, believe in God, believe also in Me. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house, there are many rooms. If it wasn't that way, I told you, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. When I get it ready, I'll come back and get you. And there where I am, you will be. So that's what He told them in John chapter 14. And He's told them that. And they're all upset because He's leaving. He told them He wasn't going to leave them by themselves. He then told them that one of them would betray Him and one of them would deny Him, and all of them would run off. He's told them that He's not going to leave them alone, that He's going to send the Holy Spirit to come, who has been with them, but who's going to be in them. So it's really, really powerful. They've left the upper room, and they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. They stop, most likely, at the temple area, because on the side of the temple was grapevines. And you remember in chapter 15 when He started by saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. And most likely He stopped there. In chapter 15, we saw several key things. He said, in relationship to God, the key is to abide. That means to maintain your fellowship with God. Second, He said, in relationship to believers, the key is to love them. Because when you love one another, that shows you belong to Jesus Christ. The third thing, He says, as far as the world is concerned, the key is to expect persecution. If they hated Jesus, they'll hate you. If they persecuted Him, they'll persecute you. That's what He told them. Now, this morning, we're going to see two things that stand out. One is the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers. That's verses 12, 13, 14, 15. We'll review a little bit there. And then we're going to see Christ's appearances. And we'll talk about what appearances He talking about. How does it all fit together? This is the fourth time in this little section that He deals with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me show you in this little section in John 16, starting about verse 8, He talks about the Holy Spirit with three things. He says the Holy Spirit convicts unbelievers. We saw that last week, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Then he said the Holy Spirit's going to guide and reveal things to these men, but we'll talk more about it. And then he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit glorifies God. So there's some great things there. Now let me remind you of something. If you look at John 16, basically 9 through 11 or 8 through 11, he says the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed, righteousness because they go to the Father, and judgment because the prince of this world of the age has been judged. What we realized last week is that the Holy Spirit convicts the unbelievers. And what the word convict means to show something, to show that they're wrong, or to enlighten them. And he convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they've not believed in Jesus. Righteousness because you have to be righteous to be with the Father. And judgment because a judgment is coming. That means, and we saw this last week, that when you share your faith, when you want to talk to people about Christ, the issue is stay on the issue of Christ. We want people to believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit is convicting them that they have not believed in Christ. So that's the goal. Stay on that area. Stay on the aspect that they have not believed in Christ. He's going to convict them of the fact that they're not righteous, that there's a judgment coming, and they need to believe in Jesus. So one of the things that we can learn is as we go out these doors, and I know sharing your faith is a scary thing sometimes, but as we share our faith, stay on the issue of what will you do with Christ? Will you believe in Jesus Christ? Because people will get off all kind of issues, keep coming back to the issue. Will you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you trust in Christ? That's the key. Now, that's what we saw last time. As we continue, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but he's going to talk about these appearances. So, first of all, in 12 through 15, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding, instructing, glorifying Christ, all that. And then, 16 through 22, the appearances of Christ. Well, let's start by the idea of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's so powerful. He's been talking about it. This is the fourth time he's mentioned it. Look at verse 12. Look what he says of John 16. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Jesus says, there's a lot of things I'd like to teach you, but right now you can't bear them. The word bear means to hold up. He says, you can't hold it now. There's a lot of things I could teach you. Now, Jesus has been with them for 3.5 years. Think about that. What it had been like to be with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and watch him do his ministry and watch him teach and ask him questions and let him teach you and all these kind of things. Well, he's taught them a lot of things. They just hadn't got it all. And so in this verse, he says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Listen, when are they going to get the information then? They're going to get it when the Holy Spirit comes. See, it's not very long from now. After Jesus dies and rises again, he walks on the earth for 40 days. He ascends into heaven. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell believers. So that's what he's telling them. He says, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear it now. You're going to get it later. And here we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And here's the first thing. He guides in truth. The Holy Spirit guides believers in truth. Now, he's talking specifically about these disciples. We might call them the apostles. Look what he says in verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Now, he says this, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in truth. Now, the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. We all know that there's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. You cannot comprehend it, but you can believe it. One God and Father, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says when he, the Spirit, comes, he will guide you in all truth. The word guide means to help along. And what he's going to do is he's going to give you truth. He will give them further revelation from God. Now, to these men, he actually says, I would like to teach you more, but you can't hold it right now. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you more information. What information is he talking about? He's talking about truths about salvation, truths about the Christian life, the future, about man, the world. The Word of God is truth. Notice how he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. See, in a world that has nothing but relativism, See, in our world, people say, well, that's true for you, but that may not be true over here, or well, there's no such thing as absolute truth, or who can know? Well, the Bible is truth, and there is absolute truth, and there are things that are right and wrong, and the Bible is the Word of God. We have the truth. He says He's going to guide them in truth. How's He going to do that? Well, look what He's going to do. He's going to give them information, and these men later on are the ones who are going to write what we call the Gospels and the book of Acts and the letters to, you know, in the New Testament and the book of Revelation. Let's talk about it for a second. The Gospels. The Gospels are information about Jesus Christ. Shows us who He is. Now, there are four Gospels. You may have wondered, why are there four Gospels? Why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Because if you read them, they're very similar. But what you realize is there are four Gospels because in the Old Testament, there are four prophecies, four views of the coming Messiah. If you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that the Messiah was going to be the King of Israel. You'll also find that the Messiah was going to be called the Suffering Servant. That's Isaiah 42. You'll also find out that the Messiah was going to be a human being. He's going to be born. You'll also find from the Old Testament the Messiah is going to be God. Those four views are the pictures of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And to be honest with you, a lot of people had trouble with it. They'd go, how can you be the king and a servant at the same time? How can you be God and man at the same time? Well, Jesus Christ is all of that. And when you look at the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as the king. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as the servant. The Gospel of Luke presents Jesus as the man. And the Gospel of John presents Jesus as God. That's why there are four Gospels. And so these men were going to get the revelation from the Holy Spirit that talked about Jesus. The book of Acts is the history of the church in the first 30 years. The letters, such as Paul's letters, Peter's letters, John's letters, they're how to live. They were written to believers, particular things to help them, help us know how to live and what to do. And then, of course, finally, the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, gives all the future events. So he says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, He'll guide you in all truth. He won't speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, in other words, whatever God the Father gives Him, He will speak and disclose it to you. The role of the Holy Spirit in this particular area is to give the new revelation. Now, we don't have new revelation. This is the revelation that's already been given. So we have the revelation they got. It's not new because they got it new. It's old for us. We read it, we study it, we put it together. So he says he's going to give revelation. Just as Jesus represented the Father, the Holy Spirit will represent the Father and the Son. So think about that. The first thing that he does is he guides and discloses. He gives new revelation. There's a second thing that he does, and that he glorifies Jesus Christ. Look at the verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. He will bring glory to Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now remember the plan? The Father came up with the plan to send the Son. The Son carried out the plan to come to the earth, and the Holy Spirit reveals the plan. The role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. That's when we come together on a Sunday morning. The whole emphasis of what we do deals with Jesus Christ. If we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, the emphasis is on Jesus. His role is to glorify Jesus. If a person is always talking about the Holy Spirit, always talking about something else, there's a problem there, because the Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus Christ. We've come together, and everything we do in this church centers back to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us eternal life. He's the one that empowers us so we can live. He's the one that we worship. He's the one, I mean, every aspect of what we do goes back to Christ, and He gets all the glory, and the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to glorify Him. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and disclose it to you. That's the second time He says He's going to give information. He says it a third time in verse 15 as well. Just as Jesus revealed the Father, that's John 1:18, the Holy Spirit reveals the Father and the Son, and His goal is to glorify Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. In other words, Jesus says, everything that the Father has, He's given to me. Therefore, I say that He takes of mine, that's the Holy Spirit, and discloses it to you. So bottom line, the revelation from the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit. That's how it is. God the Father gives the revelation to mankind through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, what have we seen in these weeks? We've seen that He's told them this. that the Holy Spirit who's been with them will be in them, that the Holy Spirit will teach them, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness, that the Holy Spirit will convict the unbelievers of sin, righteousness, and judgment, that the Holy Spirit will give them new revelation, and the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. Now, that's a lot of stuff, but that's what he's been telling them. Realize that the Holy Spirit is in us. Now, I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit doesn't give us new revelation, but look what the Holy Spirit does. As we study the Scripture, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Scripture. The second thing that is also true is just like the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Christ, when we go out these doors in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're to glorify Jesus Christ. So it's powerful. So what have we seen? Jesus said this, you know, there's a lot of things I'd like to teach you, but you can't bear them right now. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to teach you all these things. In fact, he's going to give you new revelation, and he's going to bring glory to me. That's the plan. And when did that happen? It happened basically 50 days after Jesus rose from the grave. He rose from the grave, walked on the earth 40 days, ascended into heaven. 10 days later, Holy Spirit came. That's when all this started. So it's very, very powerful. Now from this, and this is, we talked about the Holy Spirit, now he's going to do something else. He's going to talk about, and he's going to use the term, in a little while you won't see me, in a little while you will see me. And this is his resurrection appearances. And Jesus has come to the earth as the Son of God, the Savior. He's come to die on the cross to pay for sin and rise again. Let's think about the appearances of Christ. And I want you to realize this. There are three aspects of the appearances of Christ. Number one, his resurrection. When he died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, he appeared. That's an appearance. Second, there's an appearance of Christ called the rapture. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. He could come to the earth any second. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him, thus to meet the Lord in the air. So there's an appearance of Christ. He's going to come in the clouds, and we're going to meet him. There's a third aspect of his appearance. It's called the second coming. It's found in Revelation 19, beginning at verse 11, when he comes as the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he comes back to the earth to set up the kingdom. So in reality, you could say an appearance of Christ could be his resurrection appearance. It could be the rapture appearance. It could be a second coming appearance. In this passage, when he says, in a little while you won't see me, in a little while you will see me, he's talking about his resurrection appearance. He's talking about how he dies on the cross, pays for sin, and rises again. It's very, very powerful. Watch what he says. They don't get it. They don't get it. We'd look at them and go, you should get this. And then they could look at us and say, well, how come you didn't get some of this stuff? We go, I don't know. Anyway, so that's what we're going to see. Watch what happens. Look at verse 16. He says, a little while and you'll no longer see me. And again, a little while you will see me. What's he talking about? Let's see it. A little while you will not see me. Why? He will be killed. He'll be put to death. He'll be placed in a tomb. Then it says, in a little while you will see me. 3 days later, they will see him. That's resurrection. Now, that's what he's saying. A little while you won't see me. They're going to kill me. A little while you will see me. I'll rise again. They didn't grasp it. Look what happens in verse 17. Some of his disciples then said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me, and because I go to the Father. So they were saying, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. You can almost see them, that Jesus said, a little while you won't see me, and a little while you will see me. And they looked at each other and they went, What is he talking about? Anybody know what he's talking about? Because he said, in a little while, we don't know what he's talking about. In fact, in verse 18, it says, so they were saying, what is it that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. He's already told them that he's going to leave. They just hadn't put all this together. So they're saying, and look at verse 18 again. So they were saying, what is this little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Well, little while, they're not going to see him because he's going to be dead. They killed him. But in a little while, they'll see him 3 days later, and then he'll walk on the earth 40 days before going to be with the Father. But they don't know what he's talking about. They still have not understood the plan. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, listen carefully. He died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And he paid for the sins of every human being. 1 John 2:2, he's a satisfactory payment not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. So he's paid for all sin. So he died on the cross to pay for sin. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day to conquer death. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, death is conquered. Every human being will be raised from the dead. Some to live forever with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life. It comes by faith. Some to die forever separated with Christ. It's called the eternal separation of the second death. That comes when a person doesn't believe in Christ. So he says that they haven't grasped it. Let me let you understand something. They knew that he was the Messiah. They knew he was the Savior. They knew he was the King. They kept saying something like this: I wonder when Jesus is going to take over. I mean, he's the Son of God. He came out of heaven, and he's the greater Son of David. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to rule the earth. When is he going to whip these Romans and take over? That's why they argued sometimes. You remember they argued on who was going to be the one sitting on the right and the left? What they missed is this. They missed that Jesus had to be the suffering servant and die first before he reigns as king. The first time Jesus came to the earth, he came to die and rise again. The second time he comes to the earth, he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they missed it. They just hadn't got this. And that's why they're saying, what does he mean in a little while? What does he mean about we'll see him and then we won't see him? Or we won't see him and we'll see him. And they just hadn't put that all together. Now, Jesus knows everything. Look at verse 19. Jesus knew that they wished to question him. And he said to them, why are you deliberating together about this? That I said, a little while you will not see me, and then again, a little while, and you will see me. So, look, Jesus knows everything, right? He knows every aspect. If you go and you think about Psalm 139, it says that he knows when you sit down, he knows when you rise up, he knows when you think, he knows what you're going to say, he knows what you're going to say before you say it. Wouldn't it be great if he stopped you sometimes and said, don't say that? You know, you're fixing to say that, but don't say that. Wouldn't it be better if he could just stop us on some things? But he knows everything. He knows they're over there talking about, what does it mean a little while? What does it mean a little while? So look what he says to them. Verse 20, truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. Now, we've talked about this all the way through the Gospel of John, and it's true in all of the Gospels. Whenever you see truly, truly, comes from the Hebrew word amen. We get the word amen from it. Amen doesn't mean the prayer's over. Amen means truth. So when you say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, you're saying, this is true. So when Jesus says, truly, truly, he's actually saying, amen, amen. It's a Hebrew word. It was transliterated into Greek and then transliterated into English. So he's saying, listen carefully. What I'm about to tell you is true. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. Now listen, he says, you're going to weep and lament, but the world is going to rejoice. Listen, they were sad. When Jesus died on the cross, and they all ran off and everything, and then they put him in the grave, they were all upset. You remember the two guys, and we just heard that little story, the sand story about Jesus, the guys on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes up and talks to them, and Jesus said, why are you guys looking so sad? And they said, are you just a stranger out here? You don't understand what's happening? Jesus said, what happened? He said, well, Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the King. We thought he was the right one, and he's dead. And then Jesus went on to teach him, didn't he have to suffer and then rise? See, they just didn't get it. And see, they're all sad. Jesus said, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. I want you to notice, the world's going to rejoice at his death. Why? Because they rejected him. He came into his own received him not. He came into the created world, and the world rejected him. But their sorrow, the sorrow will be turned into joy. Why? Because it's resurrection. See, I say to you that you will weep and lament because you're going to be all sad because you think I'm dead. But the world's going to rejoice because they're glad I'm dead. But you will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Why? Because you're going to see me again because I'm coming back from the dead. See, Jesus Christ died and rose again. As I said right at the very start, the most important event in all of history is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for sin. He's the Son of God who rose from the dead, conquering the grave. We celebrate that time. Listen, every year at what we call Easter, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we talk about it, but the truth is, every Sunday, we should celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ because we worship on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week. And the gospel message is the death and resurrection of Christ. Now, he's just told him this, and now he's going to give him an illustration. Because that's what Jesus does. He always illustrates. Watch what he says. Verse 21. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because the joy that a child has been born into the world. Now, he uses the analogy. He says when the woman is having birth pains and she's getting ready to have this baby, she's in a lot of pain and sorrow. Okay, he says, you're going to have sorrow because I'm going to be dead. But then when the baby comes and she's all happy and you say, what about the sorrow? And she says, I don't even think about the sorrow because I got the baby. When Jesus rises from the dead, the sorrow is going to be over because you're going to say, I'm not worried about did he died because he's alive. And that's what he's using. He's using an illustration and saying, just like when a woman has a baby and it's really tough and she's really sad or hurting and then the baby comes, she don't even think about it. He says, it's going to happen because in a little while, you're not going to see me because I'm going to be dead and you're going to be crying. But then a little while after that, you're going to be happy. You're going to forget all about the fact that I was dead because I'm going to be alive. And let me tell you something. He's alive right now. This isn't a story. This is truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And he is alive right now. And we all be jumping up and down. If you want to jump up and down, you can. But we should. We should. Now look at verse 22. He says, therefore, you too have grief now. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. It's powerful. He says, you're going to have grief. You have grief right now. You know why? Because it's going to happen. They're going to go out to the garden. They're going to be out there. They're going to be praying. And all of a sudden, they're going to look up, and this mob is coming. And one of their own, Judas, is coming with them. And he comes up and kisses Jesus right on the cheek. And all of a sudden, they grab him. And some of the guys think they're going to fight, and they don't fight. And everybody just runs off. And the next thing you know, it's the next morning, and Jesus is on the cross. And the next thing you know, they put him in the grave. He says, you're going to have grief now, but I will see you again. Can you imagine being those guys, being in the room, being sad, and suddenly he's right there? And you know, that's why he said, give me something to eat. He didn't say give me something to eat because he's hungry. He wanted them to know it's a real body. He's a real person. He said, give me something to eat. I want you to show that I'm alive. I'm real. I'm not some spirit being. I've got a body. That's what he did. I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice. And nobody can take your joy away from you because nobody can change it. Jesus is alive. Wow. So he says, in a little while, you won't see me because I'll be dead. You'll be sorry. There'll be death. But in a little while, you'll see me and there'll be joy and there'll be resurrection. That's the most powerful event in all the world. Jesus Christ died and rose again, turning sorrow to joy, death to life, darkness to light, defeat to victory. So we go out these doors. What do we tell people? Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin, and he rose again, conquering death, giving us eternal life as a gift by faith. We thank God for Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I mentioned at the start, what's the story of the Bible? The story of the Bible is the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. How did he use his son, Jesus Christ? Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, conquered death. Whoever believes in him has everlasting life. Well, it's a great section. We've seen him talked about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to give revelation and glorify Christ. Then we talked about his promise. He says, I'm going to come back. For a little while, you won't see me. You'll be sad. Then a little while, you will see me, and you'll have joy. Let me give you some applications. The first one is understand the role of the Holy Spirit in believers' life. Now, we saw what the Holy Spirit did in the unbeliever's life last week. This is believers' life. And think about it. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word. The Holy Spirit empowers us so we can witness. But in this passage, he does two things. He gives revelation. Now, that revelation is already given. He was talking to these men. He gave them revelation. We have the revelation. We're to study it. We're to know it. We're to dig it. We're to understand it. We're to pass it on to others. The second thing that he does is he gives glory to Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is and ministry is. And that means in our lives with the Holy Spirit inside of us, as we walk out these doors, we want to give glory to Jesus Christ in everything we do. There's a second great application, I think, from this is praise God for Jesus Christ and his victory over death. That's not the end. Last week I did two funerals. I don't want to do any funerals. I did two last week. But guess what? They're dead, but they're not dead. That's not the end. One day they'll be raised from the dead. See, Jesus Christ conquered death. Death's not the end. Praise God for the victory. He died and rose again. That's the gospel message, by the way. That's the message we proclaim. Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Now, let me ask you this. Why is it so important that Jesus rise from the grave? What if Jesus just said, listen, I'm the Son of God. He gets himself on the cross. While he's on the cross, he says, I'm paying for the sin of mankind. He dies, and they put him in the tomb. What if he didn't come back? Let me tell you what the Bible tells us. Why is it so important? If Jesus didn't rise, guess what? There's no payment for sin. Sin, it didn't count. Second is, it proves he's not God. And number three is there's no victory over death. That's why it's so important that Jesus died and rose again. Let's praise him. We don't have sorrow, we have joy. May we bring glory to Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. May we thank God for the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who conquers death, gives life. We can have joy because of the victory over the grave. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for all that's in this passage. Lord, may we understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that even at this time, he has given us this revelation. He helps us to understand it. May we proclaim and dig it and study it and pass it on to others. Thank you, Lord, that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can bring glory to Jesus Christ. And that's the plan, to bring glory and honor to Christ. Lord, we also praise you for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the central event of all time, that Jesus died and rose again, paying for sin, conquering death, giving eternal life to all who simply believe. Lord, I just ask you that as we go out these doors, you will use us to give the message of Jesus Christ, to tell that he died and rose again, and whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.